Here it's Wisconsin Today, I'm Rob Ferret. Yesterday, the Trump administration's revival of its travel ban went into effect, blocking citizens from a dozen countries and partially restricting travelers from seven other nations. That includes a ban on foreign nationals from Afghanistan. Since the withdrawal of American troops nearly 4 years ago, roughly 200,000 Afghans have resettled in the U.S. Around that same number, though, are outside the U.S. in various stages of the application process to enter the country. That also comes as the Trump administration ended temporary protected status last month for more than 10,000 Afghan refugees living in the U.S. What does this all mean for Afghan people in Wisconsin and beyond? Najib Azad is an author, lawyer, and faculty member at UW-Madison and an Afghan evacuee who resettled in Stevens Point after the Taliban takeover in August of 2021. Najib, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Good morning, Wisconsin.
You immigrated to the U.S. from Afghanistan after that Taliban takeover back in 2021. As this travel ban comes into effect this week, is this creating uncertainty for people you know, maybe people you know personally, aiming to apply to live in the U.S.?
Well, honestly speaking, yeah, I have been in contact with 100 families since, you know, I work as a press secretary of the former Afghan president, so many Afghans know me pretty well. And being a lawyer, and then I also work as a client navigator at Catholic Multicultural Center, you know, assisting the immigrants. So I have been in contact with many. It has affected many, those Afghans, a couple thousand families, been in third countries for almost 4 years, and their cases have been processed by the U.S. government, multiple agencies, and they are waiting just to fly to the United States. And they are in limbo now. They have no future. So this has affected even those who worked for the U.S. government in Afghanistan, and they fought the U.S. war in Afghanistan for the U.S. interest in international or global values, and they were at risk. They were evacuated by the U.S. forces to third countries. They have been living in U.S. camps for third countries. They have been inspected, investigated, processed, and they had to be here today, but unfortunately, now they are in limbo.
For people in that situation, they'd been through the process, they're waiting for that opportunity to fly to the U.S. What are they doing now? Are they just waiting? Are they looking at going back to Afghanistan, looking at another country to land in? Where are they now?
Well, since they are, most of them, 99% of them are at the U.S. military camps in third countries, like in Middle East and Qatar, or in Germany in Ramstein Air Force Air Base and many others. So they don't have control to where either to go back or to come here, and they will be sent the way they were evacuated. But it will be highest risk if they are sent back to Afghanistan, not only because they work for the U.S. forces in the last two decades, but even after they were evacuated, they are considered U.S. spies by the Taliban. So they, of course, none of them never wants to go back to the country that is ruling by the Taliban, that is ruled by a group that's still considered terrorist by the U.S. So yeah, they are, unfortunately, they are living in anxiety, depression, distress. That's how they are today, and they are told absolutely nothing that what tomorrow brings for them.
You mentioned people who had worked with the U.S. while the U.S. military and civilian forces, for that matter, were in the country. There is this special immigrant visa, or SIV, and the Trump administration said, well, this ban doesn't necessarily apply to that. There's still that exception. However, I understand there are some technicalities that can prevent people from being in that status, even if they worked alongside the U.S. in one way or another. How is that situation working?
Before I answer this question, I would just like to quote something from the U.S. government or the U.S. administration just in 2 weeks. So when the Trump administration ended the TPS status for the Afghans, Secretary Kristi Noem said, I'm quoting her, "We have reviewed the condition in Afghanistan with our interagency partners, and they do not meet the requirement for TPS designation. Afghanistan has had an improved security situation and it is stabilizing economy and no longer prevent these Afghans or those with TPS in here in the United States from returning to their home country. So that was on May 12th. Secretary Christie said Afghanistan is a safe country now. But on June 4th, with this travel ban, White House statement stated, I'm quoting, the Taliban specially designated global terrorist group, SDGT, controls Afghanistan. So now, just 2 weeks before, the Department of Homeland Security said Afghanistan is a safe country and those with TPS status in the United States should return to their country. And on June 4th, travel banning, they said, well, Taliban are global terrorist groups. So contradiction, that's one thing. About the SIV, so those with special immigration visa who work for or on behalf of the U.S. government in Afghanistan for, you know, during those two decades, they are exempted, but now there was an agency that was formed by veterans, U.S. veterans, civil societies in previous administration. That agency called CARE, which was one of the best and safest legal pathway for Afghans to make it to the United States. Now that doesn't exist any longer. It doesn't exist any longer. The SIV, the Afghans, they cannot afford at this point to purchase tickets to fly to the United States to pay for their travels. And this agency does not exist anymore. No resettlement benefits are provided anymore. So even those 90% of SIV status holders or those are waiting with special immigration visas cannot make it to the U.S. because flying from Afghanistan to the United States costs about $15,000 to $2,000 per person, and a family of 10 does not have $2,000 at this point. Those who have been in military camps with no working, with no economy, I mean, with no money. So even the SIV, technically not affected by travel ban, but indirectly providing no logistics or no resettlement benefits or travel benefits, they are also affected, unfortunately. They can't make it at this point with the situation they are living in.
Talking to Najib Azad, he is an Afghan evacuee now working at UW-Madison, looking at changes in Trump administration immigration policy. Najib, are there people here in Wisconsin from Afghanistan who are affected by these various changes, the travel ban, the end of temporary protected status, and throw in cuts to refugee services in the U.S.? What does this mean for people from Afghanistan already here in the state?
Well, there are many here in Wisconsin, Minnesota, I mean, in mid-state, the people that I've been in contact with, the TPS status and affected by travel ban, the worst part is that they have also filed asylum. They have submitted the applications long ago, but unfortunately, you know, USCIS and particularly Milwaukee is pretty slow processing their cases. And then they don't have TPS any longer, so their work authorization is not renewed. And then if their work authorization is not renewed, their employers send them home, and then they cannot work. If they cannot work, they, you know, like how would they feed their kids? So there are many other challenges because of this executive order for them. Many that I personally know here in Madison and the Twin City and Winona, Minnesota, they have had TPS, which does not exist anymore. Their asylum or refugee status is still pending, and their employment authorization documentation are not renewed because TPS did not exist, which that they cannot legally work. That is another biggest challenge. So they are also facing the trauma, anxiety, distress. That's how these executive orders affected those who work for the U.S. government for 20 years.
In our last minute or so, the argument from the Trump administration on this whole list of countries, including Afghanistan, is, hey, there's not enough documentation in the home country. We can't responsibly vet people who want to come into the U.S. from these countries. What do you say that in regards to Afghanistan?
Well, in regards to Afghanistan, like I said before, 90% of those who work for the U.S. government, for the U.S. military, they were evacuated years ago. They have been living in U.S. military bases for more than three years. They were processed. They were inspected. They were interviewed. And the documentation they had in hand were from the previous Afghan regime or government in cooperation with the U.S. System. And then, the most importantly, those who work for the U.S. government, the U.S. government has their records. The military of the United States has their records, their biometrics, their all documentation. The person who worked in Afghanistan 20 years ago, the United States government has their records in their system. So they were all processed. And after the confirmation, satisfaction, they were then sent to third countries to be processed to the U.S. So I don't see any logic, any rationality in this argument. And then just like I brought to you two different statements from the U.S. government in 2 weeks, which is 360 degree contradictory with the other one. That argument is the same thing. You know, it's contradiction with what's on the ground, you know, the ground reality, which is that the U.S. government has a system that has a that has records for every single Afghan who served the U.S. in Afghanistan in the last 20 years.
Najib, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
You're very welcome. You have a nice day.
That's Najib Azad, author, lawyer, and faculty member at UW-Madison. Azad is an Afghan evacuee who resettled in Stevens Point after the Taliban takeover in August 2021. We've been talking about the impact of a travel ban and other Trump administration moves when it comes to Afghan evacuees here in Wisconsin.